Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. So many times we move 5 steps forward and get pushed 10 steps back. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. We got to move ahead with the Lord and know that he has got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, because he is God. And the one thing we can count on, one thing we can believe, one thing we can know is that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us, that he will always be there with us. And I just get all giddied up when I think of the goodness of God and all that he has done for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, saints. A great night's sleep. I know I did. I didn't want to get up this morning. I woke
Amen.
Up around 1 o'clock this morning, you know, and started listening to a sermon. And the next thing I know, I was gone to the wind. I was sleeping real good until my son woke me up this morning. Normally, I would be awake at that time, but this morning, I was asleep. And I guess I just needed that extra rest because I feel so good this morning. I just feel good. And maybe it's because of the lesson that we have for today. And the lesson is just right there. And it's so rich because we're talking about Exodus. We just came out of being with the children of Israel, being with the sons and the grandsons and the begots and thing that we've had, we just all of it got a word. Got a message and it said I got a work, but I already know I got a work. But anyway, it was like, wow, rich and more rich. But it tells us that when people forget, generations forget, you know, luckily you cannot forget. And we have to remind every day who we are, where we come from, and how important it is to never forget. Never forget who you are and where you come from. You know, when folks forget who they are and where they come from, that's when they start making mistakes, and that's when they get themselves into bondage. And understand that as the children of Israel grew, forgot about Joseph. Folks forgot about what was going on in that time. And so what happened? Folks start getting afraid. Fear. We see it every day right here in our own country. Folks are afraid of this person and that person coming across the border. Oh, my. We're afraid, and we cannot walk in fear. We must walk in faith, because that's what God told us to in his word, that we must walk in faith and not in fear. And in the book of Exodus, we got a lot of story. We got a lot of history. It's history, and we got to understand that this book, I personally feel, is one of the most important books besides Revelation in the Word of God, because it starts to give us the law. It starts to give us commandments that will help us even in our life today. The commandments are so important. And as we go into our little book, Know Your Bible, it tells us in the book of Exodus, it says not stated, but traditionally attributed to Moses. In Exodus 34 and 27, God tells Moses, write thou these words. And Jesus in Mark 12 and 26 quotes from Exodus as the book of Moses. Approximately 1400 B.C. is when it was written. And the 10 words or less that describe this book is God delivers his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. But God delivers us every day. We are delivered by the grace of God. When he wakes you up in the morning, you are delivered. When he puts you to sleep at night, you are delivered. When you give yourself 100% to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and make him your Lord and Savior, you are delivered. When you repent from your sins, anything seen and unseen, you are delivered. And we as men and women of color, many of us, some of us are not, and I thank those that are not for listening in, but understand the history of this nation. We were enslaved and we were delivered by God. Our ancestors were enslaved and delivered by God. My ancestry was the Tikar of Cameroon. And I am grateful that we were delivered. As far as tracing your ancestry, mine was traced back to Africa, to Cameroon. And I'm grateful for that. And it goes on to say, you know, which is basically Nigeria. And, you know, we have to be grateful for who we are and that God delivers us. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. Hallelujah. Thank God today. And as we go back into the details, please, of Exodus, the Israelites prosper in Egypt, having settled there at the invitation of Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, who entered the country as a slave and rose to second in command. When Joseph dies, a new Pharaoh sees the burgeoning family as a threat and makes the people his slaves. God hears the Israelites groaning, remembering his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and raising up Moses as their deliverer. God speaks through a burning bush, and Moses reluctantly agrees to demand the Israelites' release from Pharaoh. Notice there, reluctantly. Moses was like, I'm doing good. I got a wife. I got children. I've got knowledge. I ain't ready to go back there because they might get me for killing somebody. But God is going to use him. And then it goes on to say, he agrees to release, demand the Israelites' release from Pharaoh. To break Pharaoh's will, God sends 10 plagues on Egypt, ending with the death of the firstborn child, except those of the Israelites. They put sacrificial blood on their doorposts, causing the Lord to pass over their homes. Pharaoh finally allows the Israelites to leave the country. I'm sure he was saying, y'all ain't got to go, but y'all got to get out of here. And God parts the Red Sea for the people who are being pursued by Egyptian soldiers. At Mount Sinai, God delivers the Ten Commandments, rules for worship, laws to change the family into a nation. When Moses delays on the mountain, the people began worshiping a golden calf, bringing a plague upon themselves. Moses returns to restore order, and Exodus ends with the people continuing their journey to the promised land of Canaan, following God's pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. God said unto Moses, this is a quotable. You can write it down. It's our title for this morning. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Thus said the Lord, let my people go. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Acts 20 and 3. Unique and unusual about Exodus, God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with the special meal of bread made without yeast. 3,000 years later, Jewish people still commemorate the event. So what? The story of redemption is so clear, displayed in Exodus, so clearly displayed in Exodus as God rescues his people from their slavery in Egypt. In the same way, Jesus breaks our bond of sin. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning with this mighty word that you have given us, Lord. Let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits. And Lord, let us remember who you are, that you are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob. You are our Heavenly Father. And you sent your holy and divine Son to save us from our sins. Almighty God, we thank you today for your grace, for your mercy, and for your goodness and kindness. Father God, as we lift up this word this morning, we ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Forgive us for all sin, seen and unseen, Lord. We repent and give our humble adoration unto you, asking you, Lord, give us, forgive us, forgive us. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, Father God, you are the source of our strength and the strength of our life. And we give ourselves away for you to use us this morning. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's get into our word this morning. We are in Exodus chapter 1 through chapter 6. And so we do have some word today, and I just say this. And the word of God said, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, but Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us. And so go up out of the land, therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pethahs and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter and hard bondage. In mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all of their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Sephirah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives comes to them. Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all the people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Come on now. Kill the children. Kill the children. Kill those boys. But God said, not today. And God's going to take this special boy, and God's going to save him for such a time as this. Just like Esther, for such a time as this, was raised up by Mordecai to do the will of God. Moses is going to be raised up in the Pharaoh's house. And let's see what happens. Chapter 2 of the book of Exodus. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for him, for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take the child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burden. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared that surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this manner, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock.
Then their shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Raul, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us to water the flock." So he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses, and she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And I wonder, did our ancestors groan? Did our ancestors cry out to God? Did our ancestors pray and ask God, "Deliver us, Lord, from this bondage of slavery. Deliver our children from being fed to the alligators and crocodiles. God, will you save our children?" You know, as I read this book of Exodus, I thought about the historical fact that those that hunted alligators and crocodiles to make crocodile and alligator footwear and clothes, they used slave infants as bait. It broke me down the first time I read that in a history book on facts, and it just tore me up. And I thought, how could anyone be so evil and so cruel to kill babies by allowing them to be food and bait for alligators, which lets you know that our children were thought of less than an animal. And it just broke me down. But I know we have a father who is a deliverer, who delivered his children out of slavery, out of bondage, and then to imagine what has been achieved by the African-American community, by the community of those who were descendants of the enslaved, to have accomplished so much in this world. As I was doing some studying on inventions and inventors, I found where a young black woman was one of the folks that created GPS. And when I thought about that, I said, wow, God, you gave knowledge to the descendants of slaves to show us where to go. Hallelujah. And we know where to go is to the throne of God, because he's just that good. God will never allow history to be repeated as long as we know it. Hallelujah. Know who you are. Know who you belong to, that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are special. Brought me out of bondage. God is good. Hallelujah. We got to know who we are, and we are sons and daughters of the Most High, who loved us just as he loved the descendants of Jacob. Hallelujah. And as we go to Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet,
for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression. I have seen the oppression. God saw what they were going through, just as God saw what we as descendants of our ancestors, what they were going through. Hallelujah. God delivers his children. All you have to do is have faith. And it said, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, and you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of our neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And as we go back to some life lessons and questions from this word, this is a rich and mighty word of God, and we have got to remember that God is in charge of everything, and he is I am, hallelujah. And it says, Moses, God's pattern for success. This is a life example. And it says, between the world's message about success and God's is this. The world seeks a single formula to produce one set of results for all people, while God's plan is for more creative, far more individualized, and far more personal. Take Moses, for example. from a visible indication he was doomed even before he was born because of Pharaoh's decree. Yet God had different plans, and he caused Moses to be uniquely positioned to be the deliverer of Israel. Still, Moses had no vision for success as he grew up, even though as an adopted son of Pharaoh, he enjoyed a certain degree of privilege. After murdering an Egyptian, however, he ran for his life and then spent 40 years tending sheep. But one day, the Lord revealed himself to Moses and gave him a specific life mission. Many of us go through difficult and even devastating experiences, and then one day come face to face with the reality of God. Is this the pattern that God seems to be implementing in your life? If so, stick with his plan, regardless of how unorthodox it may seem. The promised land lies in that direction. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 1, verses 17 and 20. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. And understand, these women could have been murdered for not doing what the king said. But they didn't. They trusted God first and foremost. What does the Lord say to do? And that's what they did. When we fear God more than we fear anyone or anything else, God can do mighty things through us. Also, God blessed the midwives for their courageous actions. He also blesses wholehearted obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Haven't we heard that? Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. The Lord delights in taking the evil of men and using it for good. Here God took an Egyptian addict meant to kill Hebrew boys and used it to rear a Hebrew deliverer in Pharaoh's own household. Exodus 2 and 23, they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. God heard the cries and groans of the enslaved Hebrews and moved to act for their deliverance long before they knew anything about it. God is at work on our behalf even when he appears silent. We can remember that. We can take that because God remembers us. God loves us. God wants the best for us. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, so he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses was nosy. I would have been headed down that mountain, me and the sheep, flying like I was Superman. Because if you see a bush that's not burning, I would not be wanting to know what's going on. But let's call it straight. Human nature is to be nosy. And it says God often speaks to us through unusual circumstances. When we find ourselves in the midst of confusing times that we can't understand, we should slow down and listen. God just might be trying to tell us something. Hallelujah. Well, this song in the color purple, God is trying to tell me something. Can't sleep at night wondering why. God, maybe God is trying to tell me something. And it said, what can I do to earn a more spiritually responsible role? Few men ever had a greater responsibility placed on their shoulders than Moses, whom God tasked with leading the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and into the promised land. Responsibility requires a spirit of faithfulness, dependability, and a refusal to give up when times get rough. Moses had these qualities, and God chose him as his special human representative. It took years, however, to prepare Moses for the enormous job. He began life as an impetuous, hot-headed, and stubborn young man. Remember, Moses was a child of privilege. He was privileged. He didn't think about what he was doing because he was a prince, and he felt he could do whatever he wanted to. He had privilege. He wasn't like those Hebrews out there working in the mines, building pyramids. He wasn't out there doing any of that stuff. He was enjoying life. Now let's go back to the word. And it says, God always clarifies our responsibility so we can respond in obedience. He never leaves us alone. He promises to shoulder the responsibility with us. If he didn't, we would become easily discouraged
and would fail to understand the significance of our calling. God uses various events and circumstances to prepare us for increasing levels of spiritual responsibility. He used a burning bush to gain Moses' attention. This was the man's moment of calling. By this time, Moses' heart had become receptive and his spirit primed for greater spiritual responsibility. Because remember who Moses' father-in-law was. He was a priest. So you know that Moses was getting a word from God from there. He was probably being spoken to and shown that he could do more and be better. And that's why he worked so hard for his father-in-law. And then it goes on to say, God always equips us for the responsibilities he gives us. He provided Aaron as a friend and spokesman for Moses. Even the staff God gave Moses was amazingly useful as a symbol of his power. God also always prepares us for the responsibilities he assigned to us. Throughout Moses' life, God had been preparing him to lead the nation of Israel. Anytime God calls us to fulfill a certain responsibility, we enter a period of waiting. Moses tried to take a shortcut but failed, and he spent 40 years in the desert as a result. Yet in these times of waiting, God molds and shapes us. The only way to meet the challenge of responsibility is to be willing to wait on God's timing in every situation. Three words characterize a responsible person: confidence in God's calling and ability, the courage to obey regardless of the cost, and the commitment to Jesus. God gives us limitless opportunity, but we must assume responsibility and obey his call. As you pray, ask God to expand your world of opportunities and give you the desire to become responsible like Moses and willing to obey regardless of the cost. And as I end my section, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. We serve the God who is alive, who is present, who is here right now, who gives life and breath to everything that lives. Acts 17 and 25. He is, whether anything else remains or not, he knows exactly what lies ahead of us. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your spirit. He knows who you are. As I turn it over to Mother Valerie, Mother Valerie, I give it over to you, Exodus chapter 4.
Good morning, people of God. I'm starting out in Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And so he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. Put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again, drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it would be, if they did not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. You shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brothers who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Moses took his wife and his son, set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, that I will harden his heart, so he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, the firstborn. So I say to you, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. Came to pass on the way of the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at Moses' feet, and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And so he went, met him on the mountain of God, and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. They began to worship God. Exodus 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And so they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. The king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor? And so the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quarter of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cried out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on them, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. Taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself straw, where you can find it. Yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather scuttle instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hear it, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota. And as there was straw, also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your test in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Officer of the children of Israel came out and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make bricks? And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle, idle. Therefore, he said, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw shall be given you. Yet you shall deliver the quarter of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it and said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quarter. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us a horn in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. Moses spoke. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by me, my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the privilege in which they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. But they did not heed Moses because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, gave them a command from the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' houses. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, was Hanok, Tiah, Hezron, Gemma. These are the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon was Dimna, Dasma, Ohad, Zoda, Shal, the sons of the Kenite women. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generation, Gershon, Kohath, Merah. And the years of the life of the Levite were 130 years. The son of Gershon was Levi and Simeon, according to their families. And the son of Kohath were Aram, Aha, Hebron, and Urah. And the years of the life of Korah were 133. The sons of Merah were Maha and Mosh. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. Now Abram took to himself Jehochabed, his father's sister, as a wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. Years of the life for Abram were 137. The son of Ishab was Koram, Nea, Zimra, and the sons of Urab was Musha. Aaron took to himself Elah, daughter of Ammonite, sister of Nashon, his wife. She bore him Nahad, Abalu, Aslan, and Ishmar. And the sons of Korah was Asher. These are the families of the Kohathites. Aaron's son took for himself one of the daughters of Pinhas as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the father's house of the Levites according to their families. These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the children said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. For Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am uncircumcised lip, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? God is a good God. And you know what Pharaoh told God? He told God, I stutter. Don't send me, send somebody else. Have God ever told you to do something and you tell God, I can't do it, send somebody else? I mean,
I believe we all have done that, Mother. You know, as you said, you didn't accept your calling until you were, 78, 79 years old? You know, but God had called you probably like Moses 40 years ago. You know, but we all get into our spot and our way. I knew I was called at 17, but chose not to believe it could be me. Why? I just couldn't believe it. I just knew when I was in my 20s and I was spoken to by a prophet that it had to be my husband. It couldn't be me. But it was always me, as my mother told me one day. She said, you know, she's an intercessory prayer. And she said, it was always you. You just wasn't the one ready to accept it. And so it was always Moses. That's why God chose him. But he wasn't ready to accept it. As a child of privilege, he had everything he could ever want. He wasn't dealing in the bondage of his people. You know, Moses was bilingual, and I always wonder, you know, we talk about him stuttering, that it may be because he had more than one language, because he was a child of Pharaoh, which meant he was probably educated, and he probably spoke the language of the Egyptians, but was probably not as fluent in the language of the Hebrews. And so he was trying to balance both languages. And, you know, when we are trying to balance language that we're not quite familiar with, we do have a tendency to stutter because, you know, when I try to speak Spanish, my grandkids talk about me pretty bad because I will butcher words and they just laugh and think it's so funny because it's like, don't even try it. Just stop. That's what it's like, just stop. But, you know, we have to remember that Moses was chosen for a certain time and period. But anyway, Mother, if you don't mind reading some of your life lessons.
Amen.
Sister Carolyn.
Amen. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's the title.
Yes.
Lessons, mm-hmm. Exodus 6 to 9. Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. When we feel oppressed and our spirit groans, it is difficult for us to believe the good promises of God regarding our welfare. The disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. Life lesson. Pharaoh, a bad case of a hard heart. Exodus 5. Pharaoh is probably the best illustration in the Bible of a person with a hard heart. He thus provides a blueprint for what happens when a person refuses to accept being his or her will to the truth of God. Pharaoh received overwhelming evidence, plague after plague, sign after sign, miracle after miracle, and still refused to let the Israelites go, even when faced with undeniable evidence of his error. Pharaoh refused to acknowledge that another was greater than he. In the end, his pride and hardness cost him his army, almost his kingdom. All of us have stubbornly desired to have things the way we want them, even when our way opposes God's way. Every time we say no to God, we skirt the edges of rebellion once too often. If we repeatedly say no to God, then like Pharaoh, we may develop a hard heart that leads to destruction. We have to be careful saying no to God. Life lessons, Exodus 5 and 9. Let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it. When God begins to move in power on our behalf, sometimes our situation can actually grow worse before it gets better. Yet adversity is a setback for which we take our greatest leaps forward. Moving forward. Exodus 5:22. Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Sometimes we obey God expecting a certain result, and the object happens. Then we wonder if God has made a mistake, but he never does. We simply have to wait until he finishes the story. God cannot make a mistake. He never makes a mistake. God is God, and everything that he says will come to pass. He can never make a mistake. Exodus 8:23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Although Christians suffer troubles and hardships like anyone else, Lord does make a difference between his people and those who do not believe. We may have to wait to see it, but it will come. It will come. It is going to come. So we might have to wait to see it, but it will come. Life lessons, Exodus 7:11. The magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments.
Mother Valerie, that's actually Monday's words. You're going a little too fast.
Go ahead.
A little forward.
I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Amen. It's all good because you know what, Mother? Can we say it together? This is a great word. Oh, my God. This is a great word. I'm excited, Mother.
Word.
I am right there with you. I'm right
it's
there. With, I was looking, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait because, you know, Monday's word is, ooh. We'll be in Exodus chapter 7 and chapter 8. And, you know, that's when all the stuff starts to happen. As I say, that's when it gets really, really good. You know, when the plagues and the blood, the water, and all the stuff starts to happen. So,
and then,
Mother's getting all excited over here. But that's all right, Mother. I'm right there with you. Right
yeah,
there with you.
I mean, you can't continue to say no to God. You must not say no to God. Because if you continue to say no to God, God will take his protection away from you. You can't continue to say
Amen.
No.
Amen. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from Sister Carolyn. Again, as we always say, right on point, right in the word. That's why I always laugh because her word comes sometimes before, like early in the morning. Like we are both up around 2 or 3 in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning. And she's giving her word as I'm working on ours. And the word that God gave her for this morning is this. Good morning. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Have a follow God Friday. Have a follow God Friday. More than you can stand, kneel. And that's what we must kneel before God to know who he is and that he is with us always. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, as we pray out, God just put a song in my heart to play for you. And this is from the Prince of Egypt, from Donnie McClurkin. And it just fits to as we get ready to end this morning. And it's just this. And I pray for you all. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Come join me on Sunday for our New Testament, as well as our Psalm and Proverb, as we move with the Word of God. For he is, I am. I am my love.
Thank you so much, family. It is, what did we say, Mother Valerie? It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I am that I am. Who he is, he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is our Father, and he loves us more than we could ever imagine. Keep God first in all that you do. And when you cannot stand, kneel. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? I got to go to work. Have a great day.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.